Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times. Billing last night Korean baseball as a return of live sports on TV is a stretch. Dylan, thanks for taking the time, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Of course. It's myself, Ben Lyons here as well. So, Dylan, I want to kind of maybe get your thoughts on this. So, Korean baseball, it's being promoted. It starts around 2:30 in the morning, I think. You're not feeling it? Are you not going out of your way watching all Korean baseball right now?
I watched the first day. I question how many people went back and watched day two. You know, I think kind of the larger point, I think, that I was trying to make was, again, the fact that, you know, this isn't the type of thing that we would be watching normally, right? The fact that this has kind of become like our sole, you know, this and that Jordan documentary have become like our only sources of sports entertainment right now, I think kind of speaks to the level of desperation that we're at. And it's not just the fact that everything is shut down right now, but I think it's very hard to imagine things kind of getting back to normal, you know, in terms of actually, right? I mean, we're hearing about Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NFL, you know, maybe they're going to play without crowds, this and that. But I mean, just when you think about the process of actually getting to that point where they're playing games with that many people involved, you know, not just from a health standpoint, but also from a political standpoint, an economic standpoint, to me, that feels so distant. And and I think that that has kind of resulted in, you know, us trying to convince ourselves that, hey, you know, we got Korean baseball. Hey, we got the Jordan documentary, and maybe us making a little bit more, a bigger deal of these things than we ordinarily would be.
Well, you know, there has to be some things that we can take. Seeing baseball being put on again, even if we're not necessarily emotionally invested or connected to the games for whatever reason, that can provide a blueprint towards baseball coming back here in America, right?
It can. I think there's certain aspects of it that, you know, that can, but I think I would also kind of warn against, you know, trying to, compare us to some of these Asian countries that are culturally just so different from us, right? I think, as it is right now, right? I mean, we have like one day where, right, we kind of say, okay, well, the beaches are kind of open. Everybody immediately kind of floods there. You know, I don't think it's, this country's DNA is kind of one way. And I think, you know, a lot of things in, you know, places like Korea and Japan, you know, and Japan's kind of an interesting case too, because there they don't seem to be taking it maybe as seriously even as we are right now. But I think that, again, like on a day-to-day basis, they're just kind of cleaner, if that makes sense. You know, I think, my mother's Japanese, and she insisted that we send our children to Japanese preschool, whatever. And the one thing, for example, and this is going to sound really stupid, but one of the first things they teach the kids is how to like wash their hands. And like my kids really, really like wash their hands to a point where it's like, you know, kind of like with what they're teaching now, right? In terms of, you know, with this coronavirus, really get between the fingers and all that. And again, it's just, culturally, I think the way they do these small things over there has maybe, you know, made things kind of easier for them to get back on track. You know, in terms of Korea, obviously they were way ahead in terms of testing and kind of using data and analytics to kind of prevent, you know, to kind of get an idea where, you know, came the spread. Whereas here we just kind of waited until this thing hit us, and now we're just kind of scrambling. So I think, I think the UFC thing tonight, I think, right, or the show tomorrow, one of the fighters I just saw on ESPN, actually, right, tested positive, has pulled out of the card. Now, the card can go on, but, you know, when you start talking about, and in this case, the fighter, I think, had warned them ahead of time. I'm sorry, there's a helicopter above me. But, the fighter had warned them ahead of time, hey, you know, I have somebody in my family who tested positive. So, you know, they went ahead of time and kind of quarantined this particular athlete, and, you know, when he did test positive, they just canceled his fight without having to cancel a card. But, you know, when you start talking about a bigger league like the NFL, the, you know, NBA, Major League Baseball, and again, you know, the number of teams involved, way more than you would have in, say, places like Korea or Taiwan, I think you're just kind of adding a bunch of variables that it's going to be very, very hard to kind of replicate what they're doing over there.
Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times joined the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa and Ben Lyons. You know, Dylan, listen, that's it's an interesting point because I was reading this to start off my show. Adam Silver, who is a commissioner of the NBA, met with the players' union, and I'll give just kind of a bullet point of what he said on if a player tests positive, if they, you know, obviously hypothetically come back and a player were to test positive. He said the NBA's hope would be that the players who test positive, the player that tested positive for the virus, wouldn't require shutting down of a team, but just the removal of a player amid constant testing of those who had come into contact with him. I know baseball is going to be submitting something to the players' union with an idea and a plan, and that's going to obviously be a big question. I mean, when I read that from Adam Silver, what if one of the best players from a team gets COVID-19, he's out for 2 weeks, they're out of the playoffs? Is that kind of, you feel like there's a question mark there when it comes to legitimizing a champion?
Yeah, I do, you know, and, right, you know, you kind of talk about, right, you know, when somebody tests positive, you talk about contact tracing and stuff. And, you know, say, you know, if it's basketball, you know, and the guy's been interacting with the starting lineup, you know, does that mean the whole starting lineup's out, right? Or if it's baseball, you know, usually these guys, they take batting practice in those clusters, you know, kind of according to where they hit. If the middle of the lineup is gone, I think that's kind of an issue, you know. You know, the NBA, I mean, does, yeah, and I saw Silver's, you know, comments, and that's probably like the smartest league just kind of in terms of everything, right? In terms of the way they market their product, just kind of in terms of just kind of exercising common sense. I think it's right. And also I think in basketball's case, what you do have an advantage of is, you know, the arenas aren't really that like huge, right? I mean, you know, when you talk about football stadiums, baseball stadiums, you know, I saw again, like in, you know, so right with the NBA, they're talking about, you know, maybe one or two sites. You know, baseball would be very hard to just use, say, one or two stadiums, right? You would need multiple stadiums just because of, you know, how big these things are and, you know, how many games you'd possibly be able to fit in just in certain places, whatever. And I think that, you know, the basketball might be kind of the easier one in terms of being able to contain guys, just, you know, fewer players involved and stuff. And also I think they probably have like the, you know, the best leadership. I mean, I think what we've seen in recent years, just in terms of the way they operate their league.
You know, we've seen, getting back to your article about the Korean baseball, you know, games being on television now, we've seen NBA players playing horse, playing video games. We've seen race cars, you know, race car driving events and NASCAR events and stuff. Is there another sport out there, or, you know, do you think that can grab sort of the attention of the zeitgeist and become the one that kind of comes back first and gets everyone talking? Because the base of your article is saying that, you know, Korean baseball is not necessarily the one.
Yeah, I think so far all these things haven't really, right? These video game things have just been absolutely horrendous. I mean, it's completely unwatchable. You know, the Jordan documentary, I think it's a nice, solid documentary, you know, but, you know, you read some of the reviews, they're making it sound like it's like the godfather of sports docs. I don't think it's quite that, you know. I think maybe the combat sports, I mean, you know, you got a UFC card on tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. You know, they probably have the most flexibility because, again, you know, these are things that you could do like in very small venues, right? You know, boxing, MMA, you can basically just do this in a TV studio almost, right? You just, all you need really is to be able to fit in a ring, you know, if you don't have a crowd involved. Now the problem, I think, in boxing's case is that it's a very gate-driven sport. You know, whereas the UFC kind of have as a model where they don't pay the athletes, the top guys don't make as much, so it's not as gate driven. So maybe, you know, if anybody has a shot at this, maybe MMA. You know, the one thing I'm really concerned about though with this UFC card, tomorrow is it's not going to be about, you know, getting, you know, it's not about tomorrow. To me, it's going to be about the 3 weeks after, right? Because for any league with the real, or any sports organization, the real nightmare scenario is really one of these guys going home after, right, competing, get grandma sick. You know, grandma goes back to her nursing home and say, like, this wife started, like, an entire nursing home or something. That's, like, the real nightmare scenario. So to me, really, you know, I think we'll learn something probably from this card tomorrow. But, you know, to me, it's not just about tomorrow. It's going to be about in the coming weeks, you know, did anybody who was at this event lead to, you know, the spreading of this virus? Because if that happens, it's very hard for me to imagine that sports are going to be able to go out. You know, if they can't pull it off at a smaller scale, you know, like a smaller production like UFC or boxing, then it's really hard for me to imagine that you know, sports with more, you know, more people involved are going to be able to pull something off.
Dylan, as always, man, greatly appreciate your work and always appreciate the time. Right, bud?
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks, right, Dylan.
Thank you.
Right, that's Dylan Hernandez from the LA Times. How about that, Ben?
You know, it's crazy. I was watching one of those games the other day, and they had like 1,000 fans. It wasn't completely empty. And it got me thinking, like, what an opportunity to get fans who maybe haven't had a chance to sit up close or get the good seats. You know, you open it up. So hopefully if these sports do come back, it doesn't just turn into whoever can spend the most gets to be inside.
So if you have 1,000 fans, right, and let's say hypothetically, you got obviously plenty of distance between you and somebody else. What happens during a foul ball? Ben, I'm going for the ball.
First of all, I want nothing to do with a foul ball under any circumstances. I will never understand for the life of me while people will put their children at risk for a 90-cent baseball from Big Five. I don't understand it.
Just hear me out here. 50,000 fans typically at Dodger Stadium. If there's 1,000, think of the chances you have of getting a foul ball. Even if you don't want it, Ben, you know everybody else is going to want one. Everyone's going to be literally going towards the one ball, and there goes social distancing. Okay, hey, Ben, let's do this when we come back, because this breaking news, which is on SportsCenter right now, Ronaldo Souza, I think that's how you pronounce it, scheduled to fight Uriah Hall at UFC 249 on Saturday. Obviously, tomorrow tested positive for coronavirus. UFC confirmed to Stephen A. Smith. Let's chat about that, because I read this a little bit earlier and it hasn't come up with you and I. What do these leagues do if somebody tests positive? UFC is going to be kind of a first example. We'll find out. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show. Alan Sliwa here with Ben Lyons. So as you can tell, Ben, there's a lot of reggae influence to this show. A lot of old
school. Yeah, man. Friday nights. Friday nights is Sliwa, bro.
Do you like – are you a reggae fan at all or no?
I do. I am. Yeah, reggae was a big soundtrack to our wedding. One of the first trips my wife and I took was to Jamaica. I love reggae music. It's appropriate for so many occasions, you know? You're driving, you got outside, grilling outside. It's the best.
No, it is. No, it's definitely the best. So before right before we went to break, so we got – this is a fair conversation to bring up, and I was doing it before this was even announced. So one of the cards for tomorrow is now canceled because one of the Ronaldo – is it Souza? Am I saying that right? Ronaldo Souza tested positive for the coronavirus. UFC confirmed to Stephen A. Smith. So, Ben, this is going to be what all the sports are trying to figure out. And I'm not saying an answer is coming today. The NBA has already said they don't have to make a decision on the season at any part in May. If it leaks into June a little bit, that's still okay. But Adam Silver, when I read off kind of his idea, at least to this point, when I read that off to Dylan Hernandez, doesn't that kind of make you think, for those that didn't hear it, they test positive – for anybody who – a player that tested positive for the virus wouldn't require the shutting down of a team, but just the removal of a player amid constant testing of those who had come into contact with them. Wouldn't that taint any champion if you know in the second round one of the best players from an opposing team, that team's eliminated simply because you know if their player is gone, they're not going to have a chance to win against the Boston Celtics or the Los Angeles Lakers or one of these teams?
Well, there's so many what-if scenarios in the team sports. There are no what-if scenarios in UFC. UFC 249, Ronaldo Souza, he's not going to fight, and there won't be his fight. Like, there's no what-ifs in that scenario. It's pretty cut and dry in terms of the individual sports. The team sports, I mean, they're what-ifs with traditional injuries in team sports. What if the Golden State Warriors are healthy last year? What if James Worthy doesn't get hurt in 91? I mean, there's just a million what ifs in team sports, right? But in fighting sports like this, no what if. The guy got corona, he's not fighting. It's really scary, and it's a reminder that this is still a fluid situation, and we probably shouldn't be doing this, to be honest. Everybody
that's
wants
actually what
sports,
it comes to.
And everyone, you know what I mean? Everybody wants it, and everyone's trying to figure it out, and there's so many variables at play, and so many people eat off of it. But if this stuff is happening the night before a fight, I mean, then obviously, you know, there's so much up in the air.
That's the problem. You know, I mean, really just kind of think about this. If this is happening right now, then I think the question is going to come up. And this criticism will start for UFC. Remember, Dana White was pushing for this, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago? And
yeah, even 5 or 6 weeks ago, I think he was.
And until ESPN and Disney pretty much were like, look, we can't make this happen. This is, you know, not a good idea. So tomorrow's event, you have one of your fighters that tests positive for COVID. Don't you think there's going to be a lot of criticism towards UFC saying, why are you guys pushing so hard right now? Why don't you give this more time? And maybe I'm wrong, because I was also the one that was saying NFL draft, and how come Roger Goodell thinks they could just go business as usual? And that worked out great. But the difference in that, you're sitting in your living room in your kitchen and you're picking up your phone and saying, this is the pick that I'm putting in. You're not actually fighting somebody in an octagon.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And how about this one, Sleeway, with what if scenarios? What if the NBA comes back? Who's administering these tests and how frequently? Is it on a daily basis? What if in between the 5 days that they test, somebody contracts it and they give it out to, what if a team gets 4 guys who have it? Or what if a team finds out a guy has it and decides, you know what, let's not report this? Because unlike an ankle injury, you can't see this injury. So let's not report this. Then that's messed up. That opens up a whole other can of worms. So it's a fluid situation. It's a situation we hope everyone is taking seriously. And this news that's breaking right now about UFC 249 tomorrow night is a sobering reminder that we are nowhere near the clear. And that's not to spark fear. That's just a harsh fact of the reality.
All right. So I promoted a little bit earlier and I forgot to go to it. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, talking to the University of San Francisco women's basketball coach Jennifer Azzi as part of a virtual town hall. Kerr was asked a number of questions. Here's one that I want to play. He said, it feels like the end of the Warriors season. Here's head coach Steve Kerr.
It feels like the end of the season for our team. It just does. And we don't know anything officially. There's still a chance the league could ask us to come back and play some games. But given what we went through this season with all the injuries and the tough record, it's been more of the case of, you know, we're staying in touch with guys, but everybody is just sort of assuming that, you know, this is kind of it. We're not going to be involved much anymore.
All right, that's head coach Steve Kerr. So this one I want to ask you, Ben. When I first saw that, and Bob Myers addressed it today, he said, the truth is we have the worst record in the league. It's hard to motivate in our unique position, but that doesn't mean players don't have pride and won't come back and play and care about the league as a whole. We want to be good partners, and we'll be good partners. When I heard Kerr say that, I'm like, Steve, I don't think you could just decide, nah, we're good. We're good. Thank you. Why don't you guys finish this thing off? We're good on our end. We're going to just start our off season.
No, but Kerr, one of the more forward-thinking guys in the league, along with Mark Cuban, who said, "No, we're not going to open these training facilities for the Dallas sure. Mavericks just yet." You know, and you see those guys kind of similar ideologies on some certain things, not all things. But I think Kerr has a good understanding of the pulse of his very young team. I believe they're the third youngest team in the NBA. That's with a 30-year-old Steph Curry. But yeah, what a nuts season for the Warriors. New building, no Steph, no Clay, no Draymond, no KD in the mix. It's just they're kind of, yeah, he is kind of done with it. And I understand that organizationally that they're thinking about next season already as well. They should. They're going to have a top draft pick. They're going to have Draymond and Clay coming back healthy. They're going to have cap space. You got Wiggins in the mix now. They're a real team if they start to think about next season. But figuring out and playing out the stretch now is definitely not a priority.
All right, what's the plan for the weekend, Ben?
Man, I'm getting a new car, Alan Sliwa.
Look at you.
New car business, very adult weekend, learning all about APR and cash back and warranties. It's
well,
so
usually
much
you just do
fun.
Cash. Usually you just do cash out the door. And
yeah, but I work at ESPN,
warranties.
So yeah, it's not going to happen. So
all right,
no, but everything's good, man.
Do you know what you're getting yet or no?
No. We got to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. So anybody wants to hook it up, holler.
Okay, you're
now I'm figuring it out. But yeah, man, I'm just honestly using this time, Alan, and I hope a lot of people do. It's just to kind of just create, whether whatever it is you create, whether you're a writer, whether you're a chef, whether you're an accountant, create new ways of looking at your business and new ways of connecting with your family and friends. And if you can try your best to use this time to create something, then something positive is going to come out on the other side of it.
That's fantastic, Ben. All right, well, look, man, I appreciate you hanging out for an hour on a Friday night. Let's do this again soon. Hopefully, maybe we're back in the studios at some point in the next couple of months and we can do it in studio.
Man, I would love to. Enjoy The Last Dance. Enjoy all the cameos from the Michael Jordan juice, and that's not Gatorade that comes up in The Last Dance. Love seeing those guys throw back a couple cold ones, and you stay safe this weekend, bro.
All right, Ben. Thank you, bud.
Be good. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Ben Lyons right there. It's always good for Ben, or it's always good to have Ben. By the way, the moment I start talking to Ben, I just think about playing some pickup ball. I know Ben plays pickup, and like I said, if there's one thing I miss most, just picking up a basketball and shooting around a little bit. All right, we have halftime coming up next. Jesse and Curtis will hop on the mic as well. And then Lakers Nation, Trevor Lane coming up at 8:30. So all that coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, the show is flying by. Appreciate Ben Lyons. Thank you to Dylan Hernandez. And just a quick reminder, Trevor Lane, Lakers Nation, coming up at 8:30. Okay, we got some halftime right now. Jess, Curtis, let's start with you, Jess. Jess, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. You know, it's Friday night, got the weekend ahead of us, got The Last Dance on Sunday. I'm ready.
I'm going to go do some takeout after this. Great place in Pasadena area called Luggage Room. And the pizza from there, it's like those, you know, wood fire oven pizzas. Bro,
those are so good.
So you can imagine how much I'm looking forward to that. Curtis, how are we doing?
Good. I'm ready for this week to be over. It's been a long one. It feels like the longer we go where it's kind of like this, it just kind of feels longer and longer every week. But
does it feel more normal now? Like, I think what will be weird is when – Curtis, you see me and Jess at the studio with you. Like, that's got to be odd, too, that once we do come back, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's almost going to – I mean, we've gotten so used to this already. It's going to be a whole new reacclimation doing a show live and stuff, so who knows. But it'll be good to get back whenever that is.
All right, let's start with you, Jess. Go ahead, bud.
All right, so the NFL schedule was released yesterday, and Frank Caliendo, everyone's favorite – impressionist, especially in the NFL, managed to do a handful of impersonations yesterday as coaches reacting to the NFL schedule. Now, I asked you guys, and you guys said you didn't hear it, which is perfect because I have all the clips of all the coaches that he did, and I'm going to see who can guess which coach is which. So there's five different clips. In the actual clip, he kind of went back and forth a lot of them, but in the ones that I cut, it's the all the clips that he did of the same coach. So we're going to start off with coach number one.
Let's hear it.
Let's see, what do we have here? Win, 16-0, man.
That John Ireland?
Yeah, that might be Ireland. We got some Gruden action there.
John Gruden, definitely. How spot on is that, though? And so he even, like, you know, had the wig ridiculous. And that you know, white boy surfer hat. Like, I can't remember the name of the hat. What's the name of the hat?
The visor?
Visor! There we go.
It's like a hat, but with the top cut off.
Yeah, I think it was like big in, like, the early 2000s.
Well, that's when he was a coach.
Yeah.
I'm just going to let you guys keep figuring out the whole visor situation.
I'm figuring it out.
You can rock a visor. You might need to put suntan on the top of your head, though, if you wear a
visor.
That's
true, though.
Let me tell you something. I'm not walking a visor because of that exact reason.
And a fanny pack.
Let me say something about Caliendo, man. How good is that dude? I mean, he's so freaking spot on some of these. Now, we've seen him do Gruden before, so I'm curious about some of the other ones. Because I don't know if I'll be able to guess the ones. The Gruden one is probably the layup of the crew. Let's hear the second one.
I don't give a rat's who we're playing. Doesn't matter when, where, place. Just bring them to us. We go to them. Do whatever we got to do to just knock their f-ing blocks off. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take them down and knock their blocks off.
I think they're going to knock their blocks off.
This one might be a little challenging.
That one is tough. Who do you think that is? I
know who it is.
I think I could make the guess, even though I don't think it sounds like him. Is that Tomlin?
No.
No, it's not Tomlin. Curtis, I think, would know who it is.
Yeah, I remember listening to this press conference. It's Bruce Arians.
Yeah. Bruce Arians, coach of the Bucks. And he had it's not a fedora. It is a fedora, right? The hat
Dora's the hat that, like, the old detectives wear.
I collect hats. How do I not know this? Yes, those old timer hats. And with a bottle of, it was a bottle of, like, whiskey in the background. He had a glass with alcohol in it, and he was just drinking it. That was probably the most funnest one.
The only reason why I thought of it is because, you know, Tomlin is with Pittsburgh. It's like, that's on us.
Yeah.
You know, we lost a game. We don't blame anybody. We look only at ourselves. Like, Tomlin is kind of has that similar mentality. Let's hear the third one.
Well, we pretty much play everybody exactly the same way, so.
My God, that's spot.
Preparation doesn't matter.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
I had to really boost up the audio on that one because I couldn't hear him when he.
I bet.
Oh, yeah. I had to boost that audio real up.
Belichick doesn't even have to go out and do press conferences. Just use that.
I swear, at one point, if Belichick had any kind of sense of humor, he would pay Caliendo to just one day, one game. You know what? The game that's here in LA, he should hire Frank Caliendo to go up in his press conference after the
wrong
game.
Coach. Wrong coach.
See,
wrong
I just pictured a like Siberian Husky sitting there with that voice after draft night.
Let's hear the fourth one real quick.
You guys want me to memorize the schedule for all 32 teams? Done.
Come on, who's this one? This one. If you don't,
he was on the show earlier.
Is that McVay?
He was on the show earlier.
Yeah.
Sean McVay, because it is, you know, incredible mind of remembering every little detail of every little thing.
But the voice too. Like, I could actually.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I can sense it from the voice. What's the last one?
I've been thinking about a lot in the shower. I have been.
And is this guy really a coach?
I mean,
do it again. Play it again.
I've been thinking about a lot in the shower. I have been.
This is true. He's not a coach. He's the only one who wasn't a coach, but
well,
I mean,
he's probably
that's spot
everything.
On. Who is that's who true. Is come on. One more time, Curtis. Come on, Alan. Come on.
I've just been thinking about a lot in the shower. I have been.
I've been thinking a lot. It's not clicking for me. Who is it?
Oh, it's Jerry Jones.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't remember when he said a couple weeks ago that like he's been like he was thinking of like draft picks or something and while he was taking a shower?
I thought he said that. I think it was a reference to he said something about Dez years ago. Something that I thought about it in the shower, like when they let him go or something like
yes.
that.
Yes, he said
like
something
that.
Along the lines of that.
Caliendo is the freaking man. That dude is hilarious. And those impersonations, as close and as good as it could get. Curtis, what do you got over there?
Yeah, so I was on Instagram, and I saw this graphic that Bleacher Report put out, and it was really interesting. I knew you guys would enjoy this. So it had a picture of six players that played in the 2000s, and they all ended their career at 30 or sooner in the NBA. So they had Jay Williams, Andrew Bynum, Greg Oden, Brandon Roy. Yao Ming was right at 30, and so was Gilbert Arenas. So, you know,
say the list again. Say the list.
Jay Williams, mm-hmm. Andrew Bynum, Greg Oden, Brandon Roy, Yao Ming, and Gilbert Arenas.
Damn, Yao Ming wasn't even 30.
He was exactly 30.
Hmm.
But, you know, it could be either any of these guys or just any athlete that you wish they had a longer career that you got to watch, you know?
Well, when you said it right off the bat, before you even named the names, I thought immediately about Brandon Roy. That was a player that, I mean, he finished his career early, didn't he? How young was he?
28.
28 years old. Brandon Roy was walking into his prime. And look, we got a lot of opportunities to watch Brandon Roy just because Lakers, Portland, right? You're going to play them four times a year. Brandon Roy was the real deal. I mean, that type of player, like that style, it's almost a similar body to like Tracy McGrady or Grant Hill, even though he had the ball in his hands a ton. Brandon Roy sticks in my mind a lot. Bynum, at least for him, fortunately, he got two NBA championships. You know, he got a chance to play with some of the greatest to ever do it in Powell and Kobe. A
lot of parking tickets.
Got a lot of parking tickets. Wasn't he famous for saying that as long as I don't care where I play, there's banks in every city.
There's a bank in every city.
There's a bank in every city. Yao Ming, I thought, had a good career too. I feel like Brandon Roy is the one that sticks out to me. Gilbert Arenas had a good career, but that's the one that sticks out to me that, damn, Brandon Roy could have been, you know, real deal, but his freaking knees just gave out. That's a sad story in Portland. What do you think, Jess?
Yeah, Brandon Roy was definitely the first person that comes to mind because he was a baller for that that Blazers team. You know, him, LaMarcus Aldridge, Nicholas Batum, man, that squad was dope. But injuries hit. It was just like injuries hit all of them. Greg Oden couldn't stay healthy, and Roy is definitely the one where you just look back and, man, he was just so good.
It was effortless for him. You know what I mean? Like absolutely effortless. Watching him play ball back in the days, and like I said, we got a chance to watch him all the time. It was a beautiful thing. So I hate those stories, by the way. I feel so bad when some of these players, like Greg Oden, what did we even see from Oden?
Not much. 26. I mean, even Jay Williams was 21.
That's right, Jay Williams. Now, Jay Williams had the crash, right? Was Jay Williams the crash? Yeah, he did. Okay, so interesting list there. Yeah, my first thought
was usually you feel bad for these guys. My first thought was it wasn't basketball. I thought of Andrew Luck, just because you know how he had all those injuries and he retired a couple years ago. You know, way early. That was my first thought. Just, all those stories are usually connected with something that's pretty sad.
Okay, let's. I got one for you guys. So if you guys listen to. Fast or not fast track, but you guys listened to the game that I was doing with Mason Ireland and Lindsay. Mason got on the board, beat John and Lindsay. So I was doing, I just had all these different female artists, and I didn't even actually pick anything of like, you know, who was my favorite, anything like that. I just had different artists. And from a female artist perspective, what's your favorite female artist, musician, who comes to mind? Curtis, I'll go with you first. I'll tell you guys what I have in a little bit too. But Curtis, who comes to mind for you?
Yeah, I'll go kind of outside the box. She's relatively new, but I started hearing her music in 2015. Are you familiar with Halsey?
Halsey's low key good.
No, yeah. I'm not familiar.
Well, she does more. It's more heavily pop now. But back then, it was a lot of in 2015, 2016 when she started. It was a lot of. Electronic music with her in it, and just that, I don't know, the vibe was really cool, and I've really enjoyed her music ever since. And you know, sometimes I'll have it in the car and some people are like, really, you listen to Halsey? It's like, yeah, dog,
damn right.
Yeah, she's a real big streaming artist. She's big like on anything streaming wise, she's big on there. She just released an album, I think, late last year.
Jesse, who's one that sticks out to you, your favorite female artist?
So the first name that comes to mind whenever I think female artist is going to be Selena, just because that's honestly the first, you know, real prominent female musician that I remember hearing was, you know, Bitty Bitty Bum Bum. And
is that when you were growing up? Like, is that always playing at the house?
It wasn't my mom always was playing bumping. At the house. Yeah. My mom and my dad were busting the cumbia and all that other stuff. Yeah. But I remember watching the movie. And the music was you know, I love the music. Sure. I didn't think I would, but I did, and I would listen to it. My sister would listen to Selena a lot, so I would just kind of steal her CD, or I would just go in her room and while she's listening to her.
But you know what's interesting is everybody's got. I mean, it's not that you like one over the other, but I'm going to throw a couple names at you guys. Lauryn Hill is one of my favorite artists, period. So it doesn't matter. Just Lauryn Hill in general. And I don't know how much you guys listen to Lauryn Hill. And I'm sure you didn't listen to her growing up because she was before, you know, she's more my generation and I'm 10 years older than you guys. Did you guys listen to Lauryn Hill or no?
No, not at all.
Not a lot. I mean, I knew she was with the Fugees, but that was kind of the extent growing up.
she's amazing. And I have more of an appreciation for her because I've got a chance to watch her. You know, actually, you know when I saw her for one of the first times? ESPYs a few years back, maybe 5 years ago. I had gone to the ESPYs, and then after they do that, they do an after party. At that time, obviously, I'm on the business side, so we take clients to the ESPYs, and we take them to the show after. And freaking Lauryn Hill performed live right there. And that's an amazing, amazing show. Okay, here's another one that you guys should be able to relate to much more now than Lauryn Hill. How great is Alicia Keys?
Her, you know, music is, and it's like some of the greatest you ever hear, but you don't really think because you don't really realize that she was kind of, she's the voice of like a lot of really good popular songs.
Yeah, it's a good point. Like, you don't know, you don't think right off the bat that it's her. But I love Alicia Keys. Jess, you listen to her at all or no? I mean, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah,
Curtis,
I do.
Curtis, you listen to her at all?
Yeah, and she's one of our bumps, too, when we come in sometimes. There's a song you sent me that was a really good.
All right, so I think that's it. I think that's what we got for halftime. You guys got something else?
No, that's when you can tell we're all ready for the weekend.
Nah, let's it's your floor right here. Jess, you got anything?
Let's see. So,
what are you guys doing this weekend? What are you guys doing this weekend? Fill me in.
I will tell you what I'm doing this weekend because I kind of talked to you about this a little earlier this week. Mm-hmm. On when was it? Tuesday or Wednesday? It was one of the days this week I couldn't fall asleep, so I was out looking for something to watch because usually when I fall asleep, I'll have like The Office or Parks and Rec or that 70s show, something that I've watched over and over again is just kind of like background noise. But I couldn't fall asleep, so I actually wanted to watch something. So I go to Hulu, and I'm just browsing everything. Nothing is catching my attention until I come across a documentary called Above Majestic. And the title – well, not the title, the artwork of this documentary.
I know exactly what you're going to be doing.
This artwork of this documentary.
I know exactly what you're going
to
be doing.
Has a picture of a lizard man – you know, shushing with like some kind of weird crown and like two UFO spaceships in the background. I'm about a quarter into it, and I watched some of it last night because I'm kind of watching it in parts. The last thing I remember watching it last night, they were talking about how Nazis built settlements in Mars and on the moon as early as what, like 1939, and JFK was originally assassinated because he was going to kind of spill the beans on the reptilian race that are hiding in caverns in deep Antarctica, where geothermal is keeping them warm.
Let's just say, Jez, you're going to be in a different world tonight. That's all I'm going to say. You'll be in a different world. You're going to do your thing. Curtis, what are you doing this weekend?
A lot of nothing. I've been looking forward to doing nothing the whole week. I wish I was buying a car like Ben. That'd be
nice. Ben's not messing around. Ben's going all in. By the way, I love hearing that the golf course has opened up, and you know it's going to be done differently. It's going to be done responsibly, but it's great to see that we got some businesses trickling their way to opening up.
Right, you think that includes mini golf courses? I hear my
mini golf courses. Probably not yet. Probably not yet.
I guess I have to work on my putter on my own.
That's all you got to do.
My green here.
Get the little bathroom one.
That's all you need.
That's what I've been using. But, you know, after 7 weeks, it kind of gets boring.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it.
You got it.
All right, coming up next, Shaquille O'Neal was on Get Up. We'll hear from Shaq. Head coach Frank Vogel was on with George Sedano yesterday. We'll hear from Coach because we didn't get to yesterday when we were doing our NFL special that release of the schedule. So we'll do that coming up next. Trevor Lane coming up at 8:30. Appreciate you guys all tuning in. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
We'll take sports back instead. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I mentioned Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation coming up at 8:30, so he's coming up here shortly. So real quick, I want to play this on Get Up this morning, Mike Greenberg. Shaq was on there, and there's always these comparisons, and I know it always happens, and it happened before. It's going to continue to happen, but I want to play this from Shaquille O'Neal talking about who he thinks the greatest player of all time is, and I'll kind of get to my point after that. Here's Shaquille O'Neal on Get Up. Oh, my bad. You know what? That's that's my bad. I set Jesse up, or I set Curtis up to fail on that one. Okay, so real quick, what he said on the GOAT. It's very, very simple, and for him, it came down to Michael Jordan because he was 6-0 in the NBA Finals. You know, one of the things that stood out to me more than anything else in this documentary that we're getting a chance to see in The Last Dance, and obviously I said this, Kobe's portion, right? Kobe's portion has been amazing. Kobe's portion has definitely been one of those things where I felt like him saying, look, the advice that I got from Michael Jordan, that's how I got 5 NBA championships. But one of the things that Kobe said as well, he talked about how, why are we comparing me and Jordan? Like, I'm not who I am unless it wasn't for Michael Jordan. And the reason why I mention that is because we spend so much time saying, okay, who's the greatest player of all time? Is it LeBron? Is it Michael? Is it Wilt? Is it Bill Russell? Is it Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Is it Magic Johnson? Is it Kobe? Everybody's going to have a different opinion. And I think Kobe's saying, you know, in a sense, right? Just for me, it kind of sparked this, just appreciate the player for who he is. Just appreciate LeBron James. When we watch LeBron James on a night in, night out basis, do we have to compare LeBron James to Michael Jordan? Do we have to compare Kobe Bryant and MJ? Or can we just watch LeBron James and say, damn, how is this 6'9", 265-pound, should-be-power-forward the size of Karl Malone going that fast up and down the floor? How is he leading the NBA with 10.5 assists a game? Or back in the day when we used to see Kobe, how is Kobe at age 19, 20, 21 years old with Shaquille O'Neal, and when Shaq would foul out in one of these key games, comes right in, tells everybody, calm down, I got it, I'm good, walks in and takes care of and absolutely handles the Indiana Pacers or the San Antonio Spurs to help the Lakers win a championship? I'm going further and further from the GOAT talk. I'm going further and further from that debate because here's the reality. Everybody is going to have a different opinion. I may say, okay, it's Michael Jordan. Somebody else might come back and say it's Wilt Chamberlain. But I think just appreciating these players for what they've either already accomplished or what they're currently accomplishing is the right way to look at it. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that all of a sudden the comparisons are going to stop. They're not. But I think there is something to that. I definitely think there's something to that. Okay. The other thing that let's go to it. Curtis, what do you got over there? You got the Shaq?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's do Shaq on who the GOAT is.
I'm going to have to say Michael Jordan.
And why would you put Michael first?
Because, you know, Michael paved the way for all the great guys we have now. And 6-0 in the finals, without a legitimate big man, went through a lot, took a year off, came back and won 3 more in a row. He's definitely the greatest player. And I think if you ask, you know, the other guys that are brought up, I'm sure that they will say it too. Scottie Pippen made a great point. You can't say I'm the greatest player. You have to let your peers and everyone else say who the greatest player is.
All right, that's Shaquille O'Neal on Get Up. Another thing that I want to play, and this is from head coach Frank Vogel. So Vogel was on with Sedano yesterday. And listen, anytime you get the coach, especially at a time like this where we're trying to figure out what's next and what the Lakers are going to do, this is head coach Frank Vogel on the Lakers hitting their stride and it all coming to a halt. Maybe that changes down the road. And this would be a perfect transition as I talk to Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation, where we get into a little bit more from what Adam Silver said. Here's head coach Frank Vogel on with the Sedano Show yesterday.
There's no doubt, and we definitely were. And I remember talking to our team prior to the Bucks and the Clippers game that weekend. Well, we had gotten beaten by both teams earlier in the season, and having watched those two tapes, we sort of went into that weekend with the mindset that, you know, judging from what we've done from that point in December to this point in, what was it, early March, we're a dramatically improved team. You know, we took big strides during that stretch, and, you know, that was an exciting thing, you know, to sort of recognize.
I do think that's head coach Frank Vogel with Sedano. I do think that if we do get basketball back and the Lakers are in a position to continue the momentum that they had, is it going to have to be restarted again? Of course. Adam Silver said earlier today that they're looking for a 3 to 6 week ramp up. So that obviously all depends on when they'd be able to start. Is it going to be... It's not going to be as if it was the beginning of the season because the Lakers played 63 games together. There's an incredible amount of chemistry on this team. We haven't even got a chance. I kept doing this before, and I'll do it again if we start the season. I thought the Markieff Morris signing was so big for the Los Angeles Lakers. So I do think the Lakers, if they get that opportunity to come back, they're still going to be the favorite when they come back, and in my opinion, they were the favorite before we went out. Those wins against the Bucks and the Clippers, that meant something. Those were statement games for the Los Angeles Lakers, and if they get that opportunity again, I do feel like the Lakers will still be the team to beat. So that was Coach with Sedano. Trevor Lane, Lakers Nation, coming up next, and we'll continue to kind of – I want to get his thoughts on some of the stuff that was reported today with the commissioner, Adam Silver, getting a chance to address a lot of these things with the players. And I think fair questions as well of what does happen in some of these scenarios if a player does test positive. So many questions that are still out there. We'll do that coming up next with Trevor Lane, Lakers Nation. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Sliwa Show. Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation joining the show. What's going on, Trevor? How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there, Alan. Man, it's a Friday night, and happy to talk some Lakers basketball with you. How are you doing?
Doing good. It's a good night to come on, too. I mean, I think just from a timing perspective, we knew that the Players Association, they're going to have some type of a conversation with Commissioner Adam Silver. And hopefully they got some, you know, some questions answered. And I think for us, it's the same thing, right? I mean, we all got questions. All the fans got questions. What kind of stood out to you with some of the different news that came out? Either the, by the way, no fans expected for the remainder of this year, potentially next year as well. That's just a possibility. A decision on the season can be made. It doesn't have to be made in May. It could be made in June. 40% of the league's revenue comes from fans, and we know the effect that's going to have. There's so many different things that you and I can chat about, but what's one of the stuff that stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the immediate part that really stood out was not so much what came out, what didn't come out. Is the NBA coming back or not? We got no definitive answer on that, and that's not really a surprise. I mean, that's pretty much the stance the NBA has taken for the last 2 months now, is that they're going to take their time, and they're going to figure out the safest way to do this, but at the same time, I had a little bit of hope that maybe we would hear something concrete about, hey, if we come back, maybe it'll be, you know, this time in July or something like that. And we got nothing like that, nothing to kind of look forward to in that regard. So that was a little bit disappointing that we didn't hear any sort of concrete dates on anything so far. So that was the immediate thing that jumped out to me.
You know, Trev, I think this is one of the things that I'm actually praising Adam Silver for. I've mentioned this a few times that it's so easy to try and get your fan base excited. It's so easy to overpromise. It's so easy to throw out dates and say, look, we're going to be aggressive. We're competitive. We're going to do everything we can to get back. And I think if there's one thing Adam Silver has done, and this is just applying to the NBA, I don't think he's created false hope. I think he's really trying to gather as much information, kind of putting out these dates of we'll talk again in 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 10 days, and then eventually just comes with the information that he's got. I feel like that's still the right approach to take.
Yeah, ultimately it's going to be. That's probably the right way to go, but I've heard so much feedback from so many fans that have been saying, Major League Baseball, we're hearing rumors about them coming back in July. NFL is operating as business as usual. Where's the NBA? What's going on here? But ultimately, you're right. Like, it's going to be in their best interest to keep those expectations low and to keep everything, close to the vest in order to try to make sure that they make the best decision possible and not try to inflate expectations or anything like that. But still, I understand that segment of the fan base that's growing a little bit frustrated with the fact that they haven't heard anything concrete yet, even if it really probably is the prudent thing to do.
So, Trev, how do you think this helps the Lakers, or maybe you don't think it does? I know when we stopped, Lakers were rolling. You and I certainly felt like that was the team to beat in the league, and it wasn't just because we're Laker fans. It had more to do with the fact that they're the best record in the Western Conference. I think everyone would agree the West is tougher than the East, even though the East, that top six, is a nice, formidable top six teams in the Eastern Conference. But it's the fact that the Lakers they had those two signature wins right before the end. The conversation is a 3 to 6 week ramp-up period is expected should the NBA be able to resume the season. How do you think that helps the Lakers, hurts the Lakers? What kind of effect do you think it has?
I mean, I think having at least 3 weeks, there had to be a little bit of a sigh from the players. Every player that I've spoken to has voiced concerns over how much time do we have to really get ready, because these guys aren't out there on the practice floor every day. It's not like you can just suddenly tomorrow say, okay, go, and they can be ready for NBA-level competition. It takes a while for your body to ramp up to that point. So to hear him say 3 weeks and 3 weeks minimum, I think that was a good thing, and that's going to ease the concerns of some of the players. Not that 3 weeks is necessarily enough time, certainly not a quick turnaround. It means the players will have an opportunity to get their bodies at least relatively ready for the rigors of an NBA game. And so I think that's a good thing, not even just for the players, but for the fact that the league would be dealing with so many injuries if they tried to rush things too quickly and not give the players a chance to really get their bodies prepared. You'd be dealing with so many different injuries and things like that because they wouldn't be ready to go. So I think that's a very, very wise move on the NBA's part. Even if we don't know exactly when that's going to happen, I think it's really important that they do that, that they give the players that time.
Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation joining the Sliwa show. You know, Trevor, I think about the Lakers and the position that they're in if they do come back. To be honest with you, where I thought in the beginning that this was going to be, such a difficult transition to come back, when I hear 3 to 6 weeks, this is what plays into my mind. What plays into my mind is, of course, it's going to take time to ramp up. It's going to take time to get your legs under you again. The timing is going to be off. But the one thing that I think the Lakers had that a lot of other teams didn't have is this unbelievable chemistry, right? And it starts with LeBron James. It starts with the veterans on the team. I think that part could be so key for this final stretch if we get that opportunity. I still feel, if you felt the Lakers were the favorites before the postponed season, I don't find a reason why you don't think the Lakers are still the favorites if we do return.
No, and I agree with you there. In the same way, though, if you have a team that's rolling, the last thing you want is a stoppage in play, right? I mean, teams that are going on a big run, say you're on a 15-2 scoring run, the last thing you want is halftime to suddenly break that up, right? You want to just keep that going. And that's kind of what the Lakers were doing, right? They were playing tremendous basketball, beating the Bucks, beating the Clippers. And so there's that danger that momentum is going to be broken. But like you mentioned, mitigating that is the chemistry that they had, and the chemistry that they had from day one. And all we've heard from the players is how much they truly enjoy each other off the floor. So these guys are friends off the court, even though they're not playing. They're texting each other constantly. They have what has become a legendary group text that we hear so much about. These guys really enjoy each other. And so I think that could end up helping mitigate those issues with them losing any momentum, especially compared to other teams that don't have that kind of chemistry. So you're right, Alan. I'm optimistic, and I'm not I'm not lowering their status at all. Them to be the top team in the Western Conference right now, being slightly ahead of the Clippers. I'm not lowering that down just because play has stopped.
All right, so Adam Silver, part of the conversation was asked about a potential second wave of the virus in the fall. Silver said that is why they delayed the start of the 2021 season, and or that it would make sense to delay that. Silver referenced a Christmas Day start. Where do you stand on this? This is always kind of a conversation. People say that starting NBA basketball in general, not just because of the pandemic that's going on right now, do you like the idea moving forward? If this plays out, and let's say whether we finished out the season or we didn't, next season starting on Christmas, do you like that or do you prefer the way it is right now?
Yeah, Alan, I love the idea. I love it for a few reasons. First of all, if you are already accepting that premise that you're going to start the season on Christmas Day, that gives the current season even more time to finish things up, which is important for a Lakers team that's sitting in first place and, you know, has a solid shot at an NBA championship. So selfishly, I'd like to see the Lakers get the opportunity to see that out. So that's certainly part of the equation there. But also, if you look at, you know, the NBA's ratings struggled a little bit this year, and I think that moving it away from is a good thing. And so if you are starting on Christmas Day, you are missing the bulk of the NBA season, or the NFL season. You're not running head-to-head with them anymore. And so I think that could be a positive thing as well. And, you know, there's so many fans out there that basically consider the NBA season as starting on Christmas Day anyway. And I'm not saying there would be other challenges, like you might run into the Olympic schedule and things like that, and then there's the question of what do you do with the WNBA. But overall, I like the idea, and I think that it's worth exploring, and it's possible that this is the silver lining, right? That maybe as a result of all of this pandemic stuff, you're forced into a switch, which could be beneficial long-term. So maybe they move it to a Christmas Day start, and then it just stays that way. If they find out that this actually does work better, this is kind of the push that they needed to go ahead and make this change.
Trevor Lane from Lakers Nation joining the Sliwa Show. Trev, how about this? I'm going to read this off to you. This is on the financial impact. The collective bargaining agreement wasn't built for an extended pandemic. Adam Silver called it the greatest challenge of our lifetime, obviously talking about the NBA. He said 40% of the league revenue comes from fans in buildings. And on a message to the players, this is going to be hard and hard for a long time. We need to work together. Hard choices are coming. No one will agree on everything. There are some difficult days ahead of the collective bargaining coming with grim financial realities. It's listen, we're not in the back room and we get to see what all the finances look like, but to see or to think that there's not going to be fans sitting in seats for the remainder of this year and then potentially next year as well, and 40% of the revenue coming from that, how do you think this collective bargaining, this CBA, just kind of renegotiating all this stuff goes with players? And do you think that's something that's going to be a challenge, or because of the circumstances, both sides will understand that this is something that they've never had to go through before?
Oh, I think it's both. I think both sides will be extremely incentivized to work together because of what's at stake. But at the same time, it's still a massive challenge. I mean, if you're talking about 40% of your revenue, knowing that, you know, basketball related income is a huge indicator of how much money the players are getting. I mean, it's everything for as far as how much the players are getting, how much the owners are getting, what that split is. That's going to be an enormous challenge. And like Commissioner Silver said, the CBA isn't built to withstand this. So I think that is a really key statement. That tells me that there's changes coming beyond just, hey, we have to cut back financially. That means there's going to be some formative changes coming to the collective bargaining agreement, because they have to, because the current CBA is simply not adequate for this time, for what's going on right now. And we have no way to project exactly what that's going to be. We have no way to project what the ramifications are going to be for whatever comes. But that means changes are coming beyond just no fans in the arena. There's going to be a structural change in what's happening in the NBA and the way that players and owners and everything relate to each other. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. The NBA will certainly do everything they can to minimize the damage. But you know what? The league, the remainder of this season, next season, for the foreseeable future, it's going to look different. And all we can do is cross our fingers and kind of hope for the best and we'll break down whatever changes come, you know, as they do.
Trevor, thank you, brother. Your coverage on Lakers Nation is always outstanding. If you do not follow Trevor Lane, please do it on Twitter, on Instagram, on YouTube. Trev, throw out all those handles.
Yeah, sure, Alan. You can follow me on Twitter at Trevor_Lane or on Instagram at TrevorLaneNBA. And then, of course, find all my stuff at Lakers Nation. You can find us at Lakers Nation on Twitter or Facebook.
Trev, thank you, man. Have a great weekend, okay?
Hey, thanks so much, Alan. You too.
All right, that's Trevor Lane right there. Okay, we're able to get some sound from Adrian Wojnarowski and also from Stephen A. Smith. So we'll get to that when we come back. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. All right, so UFC 249, the latest with Stephen A. Smith, with what's going on for tomorrow's event.
Well, apparently Ronaldo Jacare Souza arrived in Jacksonville, Florida on Wednesday, like most fighters do, was scheduled to do. He arrived on Wednesday. Medical professionals met him in a parking lot, at which time he was scheduled to be tested. Upon being tested, although he was completely asymptomatic, no fever, no cough, no anything like that, he did inform those professionals that there were family members of his who may have had the coronavirus. As a result, they instantly went into urgent mode in terms of testing him. Upon testing him, they completely isolated him in his hotel. They were hopeful to have those test results back in 24 hours, which would have been Thursday. Unfortunately, Quest Diagnostics, from what I'm being told, needed the 48 hours. 48 hours later, which was today, they learned that indeed he had tested positive. In the process of all of that, remember, there was media that he had to do. All of it was virtual. There was Skype, Zoom, phone calls, things of that nature. The weigh-in that took place earlier today with Dana White in attendance. If you recall, he had on a mask. Souza had on a mask, and his opponent, Uriah Hall, had on a mask and gloves. As a result, they were told the Florida State Athletics Commission felt satisfied by what had transpired. And I have a quote here. A gentleman by the name of Mr. Hunter Campbell, he's the chief business officer for the UFC. According to him, the Florida State Athletic Commission executive director, Patrick Cunningham, had this to say. We're very impressed with your entire process. You have our full support. We have no reservations about the event going on tomorrow. We think this is the template for combat sports moving forward. So regardless of everything that I just told you, an event with the UFC is scheduled to take place tomorrow in Jacksonville. It is on as scheduled. There will be no delays. As of right now, the event is still going.
All right, let's say this, and that's a great way, Stephen A., kind of breaking everything down. That was on SportsCenter. And all this coming down over the last couple of hours when I was on with Ben Lyons and Dylan Hernandez, that's when we were kind of starting to get the information on UFC 249. Look, there's going to be Dana White's been very aggressive. That's been his approach in this whole thing. He's doing everything he can to get UFC back. Part of that is because he probably sees this incredible opportunity where people are at home and they're hungry and thirsty for sports. So no question about it, Dana White's trying to take advantage of that. The question will always be, is now the right timing to be doing this? And is it safe enough to do this? So the night before UFC 249, one-year match is gone. And it's gone because somebody tests positive for COVID-19. Look, I'm just going to – this is my own personal opinion. There's going to be criticism that goes to UFC because – they are trying to be the first back, right? And there's also going to be some trial and error from any of these sports. Any sport that wants to come back, there's going to be trial and error. Because if Major League Baseball comes back as planned for July 1st, there's going to be scenarios that play out that this was our plan in the beginning. This is what it looked like, but now this is what it looks like. And you're just going to kind of have to continue to adjust as you go. The NBA is in a similar position. There isn't all these answers yet for the National Basketball Association. And I think for UFC, expect there to be a lot of questions about them still pushing forward on these matches. We'll see what happens. Dana White has been incredibly aggressive of wanting to make sure that UFC gets back And he's obviously done that because they are back. NASCAR will follow. Golf will come after that. And then we'll see about some of these other major sports, what they're going to look like. All right. From a basketball front, here's Adrian Wojnarowski, who was on SportsCenter.
It did change. And I was told, Sage, that in marketplaces where the local health authority gives teams permission and then it is approved by the NBA, where there are health professionals and at-risk health workers who have enough testing, where there's robust enough testing is a term the league uses in their communication with teams, those teams and those markets can then test players without symptoms coming into their facilities during these voluntary workouts. So the Orlando Magic are going to start doing that when they begin voluntary workouts next week. And in Los Angeles, the Lakers and the Clippers, that will be available to them too if they choose to test their players coming into the facilities. Until now, it had been a situation where teams could only test those who showed symptoms. And for some organizations, it gives them more comfort opening up their doors.
All right, so that's in regards to around the NBA. So we'll continue to pass on this information as we get it. And I know for a lot that are out there, we don't got all the answers. Nobody's got all the answers. And that's just kind of the predicament that the leagues are in right now. Okay, so a couple things I want to shout out here. If you missed any part of the Sliwa show, so all our shows go on the ESPN app and on iTunes. They're under Lakers Talk. Lakers Talk's the original channel, so we'll keep it under there for now. So if you want to go back to any of the channels or any of the shows, just go to Lakers Talk on the ESPN app or on iTunes. I put out this poll. I want to get show some Laker fans that are out there. Actually, two different polls that I put out. One of the polls I put out was for the Los Angeles Lakers. Let me read it here. If we get basketball back, what team would be the biggest challenge for the Lake Show? 62% the Los Angeles Clippers. 62% the Los Angeles Clippers and 28% the Milwaukee Bucks, 10% other. Another poll that I put out, should have got into a little bit more. Better record this season, the Los Angeles Rams or the Los Angeles Chargers? Rams at 67% of the vote. You could follow me on Twitter at Alan Sliwa. As always, LA, greatly appreciate it. Dr. Clapper tomorrow morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. That's the Weekend Warrior show. So you can make sure to catch Dr. Clapper. And then we're back at it Monday night from 6:30 to 9. We'll come with Lakers Talk. LA, have a great weekend.